To have a good harvest, one must plant good seeds and must also use the right kind of fertilizer. The carrots have grown large and firm. How good they will taste.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Backyard Gardens podcast. I am so glad you're here, as I'm sure Miss Batavia is. And we're going to talk about planting in spring. Yes, everybody. I think across the board, it's basically about time. What do you think?
Absolutely, it's about time.
Well, good deal.
We know it's about time because it's right at that, is it too early for that? Like all of those questions are coming up.
Yeah. Oh.
Is it too early to plant this? Is it too early to plant that?
Yeah, it is that time. I mean, you know, when you start second guessing yourself, because there's a point when you're looking at it, you're just like, there's no way in hell. And then you get close and you're like, well, so yeah, it is time. But first and foremost, we have an announcement to make. And that is, we have decided as Backyard Gardens to get into providing seeds for people. So there is a link below in which you can get seeds, and we're doing it in a measured fashion, I would say, where this year we're going to test it out with direct sowable seeds. So these are all seeds that you can completely direct sow in your garden and grow. And some of them, like the lettuces and stuff, you can obviously start from, you know, inside and move out. But we wanted to focus on direct sowing seeds just to make it easier. Gotta say something, Batavia. So we've got...
No, I mean, it's super exciting. It feels like a natural progression. It feels like this is a good year to step out into this. So I'm super excited about not only using what we're offering to you all, but also offering, you know, this.
Right.
And actually, it's now that I say that out loud, it's going to tie into the end of this episode as well. It's here.
Yeah, it is here. And it's pretty cool, too, because what we kind of decided is we were going to focus on varieties that one of us have grown, and a lot of them, both of us have grown. So we're familiar with them and we enjoy them. And if it goes well this year and you guys would like to purchase seeds, like again, we're going to do it through Etsy. So the link is below. And if it does well, then we will advance it coming into the fall season into other varieties such as your tomatoes and peppers, and you know, we'll open the floodgates a little bit more and get some more varieties. And but we really wanted to focus on stuff that we've grown because we're familiar with it and we enjoy it ourselves. And a lot of these are staples in our garden, and if they're not staples, they're something that we would grow again, no questions asked. We're happy with the way they produce. You know, a lot of them are heirlooms, so you can save the seed easily, all that stuff. So we really wanted to provide that for you. So check out that link below, help us out, and get yourself some seeds so you can get your garden growing. It's really exciting, and there's even a little gift inside for everybody. So check that out, and we look forward to sending you guys some seeds and watching your gardens grow amazingly this year. But that being said, all that good news. I mean, this is an episode of just good news, because not only are we going to be selling seeds this year, but we're also now talking about planting. And it's just, you know, we're not even talking about starting seeds now. We're now talking about putting plants in the ground. That's huge.
Yeah, it is my absolute favorite time. And, you know, it's funny because there's that balance of an actual plant where you can see the life, right? You know,
yeah.
And now you're putting it into your garden space to grow. I've been consuming a lot of garden footage over the winter season. And one of my favorites, which I'm putting on my longer list to do, is kind of the progression. You know, I love a good progression video.
Yeah, you do.
And seeing like seedlings at the beginning of the season and then seeing a big head of cabbage, you know, a few months later. Like it's good stuff.
It is good. And it's so hard to do that stuff. But, you know, just following these people through and through and seeing what they're growing and how they're doing it is, I enjoy it as well. That's why I got into the YouTube games. I'm sure you did as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which by the way, you can check us out at Sandy Bottom Homestead and Batavia at Be Better Garden. But, we, you know, at this point of recording this episode, my spring garden is 100% planted. And I have a method that I do, as Batavia has a method that she does. And there actually is one that I do need your input on. So believe it or not. But what is the first that you put in your garden in spring? First plant?
It's going to be in the cold crops, the brassica family. Well, actually, no. Yes. Plants. I'm bouncing back and forth between direct sowing. Because just as a shout out, and we may have talked about this in prior weeks, like peas would be the first thing I direct sow. But for planting plants.
Well, we can talk about direct sowing too if you want. I mean,
right.
Throw it all out
peas.
There.
Peas. Peas. And I have been teetering on, and I think I'm going to do a combination of them both because, listen, I'm going to go ahead and get in front of myself and say that I am on it with my indoor seed starting. So I have the space and place and you know, bandwidth mentally to actually start some peas indoors, which I know generally peas, it's recommended to direct sow. But I'm going to do a combination of both direct sowing as well as putting out transplants for like your sweet peas. So I'm excited about that.
You're going to try transplants of sweet peas?
I am. I've seen it done.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't know what the true success is from that. Like if there's really a difference between someone that's transplanting them versus direct sowing them. But I've seen transplants like grow. I don't know what the success is from a production standpoint. By that time, I think it's probably moot. I don't think that there's going to be some impact based on you disturbing the roots is what's commonly said.
I think it's based on how long you leave it in the, you know, as a seedling before you transplant it. You know, a lot
it's
of these things.
Those are one of the ones that's supposed to be like a shorter window.
Yeah.
You know, so peas, that's my answer.
Well, good. We can compare because I direct sowed my SPs a while back. So we can see how that works out. Yeah. You know, mine doesn't really count for now, but the one that I wanted to ask you about is onions. And the reason why is because I grow short day onions. And so we plant those, you know, well, I've been planting them in like December. And I think next year I'm going to plant them even earlier. But I know you have to grow long day onions. And so I don't really know a lot about long day onions. So when do you plant your onions?
You know, actually, now I wonder, because this is only the second year where I've done like onion sets versus the onion, excuse me, onion transplants versus the onion sets, which I just think are pretty, like there has to be someone that enjoys them, but it's not me. The little bulb onions is what I've done all the years before. So this is only the second year I've actually used what's generally recommended, which is, you know, the transplants. So I said that to say, like, I may have missed the boat. Maybe it's onions before, the peas. So my extension service recommends March 20th.
Okay.
For my area to transplant onion sets. That's the first opportunity starting on March 20th. And if I compare that to peas, they're giving generally the same date. So.
Okay. So it's about the same.
Direct sowing peas.
Right.
On about March 20th for Illinoisans.
Right.
And transplanting them, the onion sets.
Onions are a hard one to talk about because there's three different classes of onions and they grow so differently. So that's why I knew that it would be early, but I didn't know how early it could be. Because, you know, my onions, they cruise through the coldest of cold in our area with basically no issues. So I know that you guys can get pretty cold. So I didn't know how much protection you added to that. You know, my next one going, or wait, did I say onions? No, it's your turn. I forgot.
Oh, wait a minute, I guess
I forgot where we were.
Look, onions.
Onions. Check.
Could I make that my second one? The thing I stumbled through the first time was, I'd say potatoes.
Really? Mine's cabbage. Yeah, mine.
I mean, so this is all within like a week or two of each other. So just so you know, everything I'm going to list.
So this is crazy because for me, it's a month to 6 weeks difference based on my climate. So I have to put my first, and I'm only going to talk about what I sowed for spring, not what I did in the fall, but in January 15th, which would be my first ones would be cabbage because they usually typically can take colder. But my potatoes go in later. So it's crazy because I think the way it works is, you know, I'm in coastal North Carolina, Batavia is in the Chicago area. It's totally different in the way it warms up, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know how usually we'll go back and forth? I don't know if that's going to work for this one because the way your weather is, it's so different.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I felt like when you're like, my garden is 100% planted for spring, it's like someone's listening. You may not be behind if you're listening.
Yeah.
You may be more like my garden in my area where, as of this recording... And in the middle of the drag race.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah. That person is not passing an Illinois emissions test. There's no way there, which is tied to, you know, everything that's taxable, license plate stickers and yada, yada, yada. Anywho. We're right on, like, very close to this episode releasing as we're recording it. So this is almost real time. And my garden is not planted at all. I only have the things that I basically planted last fall. And that's absolutely expected. Like, my garden is still thawing. Some of, you know, my garden from the winter freeze. So this is where, again, you have to, you know, really understand what your seed starting dates are, what your plant out dates are, which includes direct sowing and transplanting. And this is that whole question of, is it too early for?
You know, it's funny.
Some things, but the things we're talking about, not necessarily.
You sent me this list. Batavia sent me a list of her planting dates. And did you get this from your extension service?
Farmer's Almanac.
Farmer's Almanac, yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's your last frost date?
It's April the 17th.
Okay. Wow. Some of it seems a little late, but I don't know. Because you have like super tight planting windows. So it basically looks like to me, it looks like a 2 week window to get your entire garden planted, where I have roughly 6 weeks to get my entire spring garden planted.
Well, it differs. So we're going to go a little bit off script here. And the random crop of arugula, which I think that's one of the hated crops. I think arugula may be similar to okra in the way that people are like, never, or they really love it.
Yeah.
So just randomly arugula, because it's right at the top of, you know, my view here. The first time that the Farmer's Almanac is suggesting I plant it out is March the 27th. And it's seedlings or transplants. That's the way they're kind of framing it. But I have from March 27th through April the 10th. And my understanding of that logic is for the plant to come to full maturity before it gets too hot for arugula. But then again, shoot, I don't know, because I also have a last plant date, which I believe is for the fall, in October. So this is not one of those you're planting it all throughout the garden season. But even that said, it's still a pretty tight window. I look at it and say for my March plantings, I feel good about them because it's earlier than I would typically plant. Mm-hmm. And for the April plantings that they're suggesting, they're recommending, it's about when I've planted some of them. So I know that it could work in my garden, you know, and you're right. It's like, you know, mid-March through at the latest, you know, second week of April.
Hey, send me your message me your zip code real quick. I want to look and see how I compare to when I look up people's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the reason why I ask for that, and you know how I am, man. I'm always trying to push the envelope a little bit on this stuff, and I want to I know that there's a lot of places where people can grow earlier than said, but you know, when I make these planting charts for people, I look at the weather averages. And so looking at your zip code weather average will be a tall tale sign of, so your dates, this episode's taking a left turn, which is good. your average minimum temperature in March is 31 degrees. So what that means to me is you could easily be 20 degrees in March, right? So, yeah, you know, and this is also one thing, too. If you're not using any cover, I think your dates are probably right on track. If you don't plan to use any kind of cover or anything to help extend anything.
Yeah, this is where kind of the generalness of some of the things that we read and study and research, you know, so you hear things like 2 to 3 weeks before your average. That's an alarm saying text Ben.
Okay, thank you.
Consider that your text. 2 to 3 weeks before your average last frost. So April the 17th, 2 weeks would put us right at the beginning of April, 3 weeks would put us right at the end of March. And that sounds good. And generally, again, that's what's tracking with the Farmer's Almanac when it comes to some of these more seeds that I'm planting. Mm-hmm. So basically it's saying this seed probably won't emerge until we get closer to your average last frost, which means the soil temperature is a bit warmer. But look at what they did for my brassicas.
Yeah.
It is plainly saying, again, I use my zip code, which could span quite a bit of, you know, my area, but it's not all of Chicago. And they're saying the beginning of April is when I'm starting out. Right. You know, again, and that's what I've done before, but that's, you know, that's like a week before my average last frost. Right. And I think it directly ties to what you've just described. You know, I could get consistent freezing, you know, when we're going into March.
Yeah.
Late March.
Yeah. So your freezing and my freezing is different. And for the listener, it's probably the same way, you know. For your area, and I mean, I'm going to look up while I'm talking my area too, just so I can get a visual of it. But repeated frost over, I mean, we haven't had a frost in 5 days, and we're not projected to get one for 10 days, but that doesn't mean we won't get another one. So we have a different heat up period than you do. You know what I mean? Like, it's totally different. So it's interesting to see that. And this is the whole point of this, is like knowing. My computer's giving me stupid warnings. Is knowing your weather and your climate and understanding how fast and how slow you heat up, and vice versa for the spring or the fall, or fall is how fast you cool down. So like I look up my minimum average temperature for March and it's 42. That being said, easily get 32 degrees, but that's already 10 degree difference from you.
Yeah, 32 degrees, things can survive that may not survive as young seedlings at 20 degrees.
Right.
Right. You know, and so your caveat was, unless you're using cover. I think I want to break my potato down as a reference. And it's just about like, do I have, you know, do they have eyes on them yet? It's that timing for me. Yeah. So the earliest they're recommending is March 20th. And we know that generally for potatoes, you don't want the leaves to freeze, right? Sometimes they can bounce back, but you don't want that. Now, if I plant my seed potatoes on March 20th, as they're recommending for my area, you and I both know it's going to take a couple of weeks for that potato plant to emerge.
Right.
And guess where I am by then? I'm closer to my average last frost.
Right.
Right. You know, and so it's like kind of the magic of that timing.
Right.
It's not as if I'm planting a potato plant on March 20th. So I'm trusting in, you know, kind of all of these things being considered, but I'm also trusting my experience as well.
That's so
big. I know that I've planted the very first week of March brassicas, which we haven't gotten to, you know, and I know that they've been successful in my garden.
So if you say that, and the Farmer's Almanac list you sent me has them going out in April.
What did I say? Did
March,
I say March
the first
or April?
Of March.
I meant April. The week of April is when. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to say that's
the earliest
big,
I've planted
big difference.
Them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So because I'm looking at your list, and I'm assuming you kind of typed them up in order.
I sorted it by first planting date.
Oh, you did an Excel spreadsheet. You're such a nerd.
Yeah, you know how I feel about Excel spreadsheets.
I know.
Yeah,
look, everybody, if it was for Batavia Skills with a spreadsheet, we would not have this show, just so you know. We would be completely screwed.
But you know what? You know what's so amazing? It's true. But no, the amazing part was the kick in the butt with the seed starting chart that you made me is what took me to this next step.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and so there are a couple, you asked if it was my extension service, and there are a set of charts that my extension service provides, but I prefer, just based on the way that I read information, that the charts that the Farmer's Almanac provided. So again, it's all preference, you know, generally speaking, it's the same information.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, you know, there's some nuanced bits to it. But this is one of the things, again, that allowed me to feel more in control going into this garden season.
Well, I have a video coming out soon where I talked about, you know, a lot of things basically, but one of the things that I mentioned in there was, and your list is what brought this top of mind to me, is there's things that you can grow that, you know, in your area that you should really focus on. And looking at your list and the way that it's splayed out for me right now and the dates, it's clear to me, just like, I mean, I told you years ago, like, your spring garden can be the bulk of your garden all season. Whereas for me, if I look at this and it says, you know, you got cabbage in here a lot later than I would put cabbage in, just in, and when I say a lot later, I don't mean date wise, I mean in order of plants, it would, I would have zero chance of getting a cabbage. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's crazy to me in this little country that we live in, how different our growing patterns are. But as we break it down, you know, we've gone through onions, we've gone through, what was the other one we went through? Cabbage,
potatoes, peas,
cabbage. And so a lot of these on here, like you've got in order, potatoes, radishes, and turnips, kohlrabi. Those are direct sow, right? Are you direct sowing those or are you transplanting those?
I've started transplants for kohlrabi, but yeah, I'll generally go with you.
Okay.
That's one of those plants that you can't leave in the transplant sale too long. You know,
no.
So to your point.
And so what I was going to say is, based on your weather, that direct sowing rate for those seems about right to me, because you're coming up really close to the end of your freezes. And those seeds will come up in cold weather, but not freezing weather. But in a period of warm weather, they will in fact come up and be able to withstand light frost and stuff like that. So I totally jive with that part of what you have written down here. I like, just having to get my mind in the mindset of your weather is very tricky. And I think that's the hard part for people, is getting their mindset in the weather and trying to relate your weather or my weather to their weather. You know what I mean?
And then tie it to kind of what your heart wants to grow,
right?
Versus kind of what's in black and white, right? You know, so first, I love you. Second, and no conditions around it. Second,
yeah, okay.
One of the reasons I love you is, and you said that to me. I think at some point you said I could have a kick butt fall garden, but maybe it was spring. But either way, I'll take it. I've had this chart here for a couple of months now, and I hadn't looked at it from the view that you just looked at it in. When I look at things that I'm planting that we would consider more summer crops, it's the few versus the many things that, you know, are recommended to plant in the spring, right? You know, so again, I mean, this is not, it's not inclusive of every single vegetable or herb on earth. It's not that. But it really points out kind of how limited the summer garden is, although there's a lot of excitement around it, how limited the summer kind of vegetables are compared to, you know, all of the things that, how about this, just prefer cooler weather.
Yeah, it's crazy to think of, and that's for you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's for you.
Now, I will say this.
I've actually not thought about it until this moment in that way.
Yeah. And so if you think about it, let's say that you go to plant, you know, the cabbages, and then I'm going to go ahead and give a second one because I just feel the need to. For me, it would be broccoli. My next one would be broccoli. Mm-hmm. But if you're planting them early and you throw a cover over them and you're getting sun, like you can, because the weather is warming every day. And when I say every day, I mean, it's not like, okay, it's 45 today, 46 tomorrow, 47. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the overall trend over the weeks will be warming. You're going to be able to squeeze things out earlier than you normally would. You know what I mean? And so that's something that I try to keep in mind. And when I do videos and sit on the podcast, I really try to express, like, that's what I do is, like, I may not have it covered right now, but I'm prepared to go out there and cover certain crops at certain times. Like my potatoes, I planted them a month early. I'm totally prepared to go out there and completely cover them and winterize them and let them grow. So, you know, that's something that we can work with on that. But going through your list, you've got all these things coming up, and it's like you've got these really tight planting windows, and it's hard to juggle those planting windows. I mean, you're talking about, I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking 2 weeks of pure stress. That's what I'm looking at.
I was just chatting with another gardener, a Chicagoan. She's in the suburb, but you know.
Is that what you guys are called, Chicagoans?
I mean, I think, isn't everyone an N? I-A-N, like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, it just
North
sounded
Carolinians.
Weird.
Yeah, anyway.
North Carolinian.
So, I claim her as a Chicagoan because I live in Chicago and so on. But people, you know, people are real strict about that. You know, don't say Bolingbrook. You're in Bolingbrook and you're actually saying you're a Chicagoan. But anyway, I'm not that particular. So, anywho, we were talking about kind of coming out into the spring and, you know, compared to fall and joking about how we both want to take some time off at the beginning of the season. And I'm like, I want to take some time off when like the harvest really comes in. And so you're exactly right. Like that time period, basically March going into April, is like, it could really make your garden. It doesn't have to break it, but it could really make your garden for my area, you know, in the spring. And it's funny because I actually have come to the place where I've matured a little bit more, just a little bit more as a gardener, where I'm willing to take a few more risks than I was previously.
Yeah.
And I say that to say, I'm not just going by the chart that the Farmer's Almanac said, okay, this is what I'm suggesting for your zip code, because that's basically what they're doing, right? I'm not just going by that. I'm folding in my experience, but I'm, guess what? Watching the weather like a hawk.
Yeah.
Right? And so when I talk about maturing a little bit more, I want to know, can the arugula survive, you know, 28 degrees, right? So I may not cover it because it's also a crop that I don't care. Like, it's not my beloved collard. It's not that, you know? So I need to know, do I need to rush out to cover it, you know, or let's see what happens with it, because now I'm going to file that in my information bank, right? Now, I probably wouldn't do that with potatoes because I'm a potato lover. Yeah. But again, I play around with some of those things now where, you know, 6 years ago, I probably wouldn't. I would have been much more rigid.
But where I'm working with a limited space, you know, well, I got this championship belt on my waist. I earned that, you know, with pride. And my eyes are bigger than my stomach for both my plate and my garden. So I've got this small garden. And I want to plant a lot in this garden. So I've got to look at it objectively and say, when can I get these things in and when do they have to come out? And so that is my desire to push things a little bit earlier. And I mean, in the grand scheme of things, 2 weeks is a lot of time, you know, to push a plant into the ground earlier if it's going to survive. So that's why I'm willing to take these steps, because I know when I pull my potatoes out, I can put something else behind them and double the return of my garden. So that's why I'm pushing, you know, my potatoes harder. Or like I planted this year, actually my first crop this year was my broccoli, which is not very smart, but it's working out because I saw a stretch of weather. And I mean, I'm obsessive over what my temperatures are doing from here until my last frost. I will be obsessive over it, especially for the next month. It's basically just like, what's it going to do? What's it going to do? When's it going to get cold? Oh my gosh, here we go. Here we go. And trying to make these adjustments consistently to get them into the ground at the right time is something. And I think once you start getting that experience, you really do start to flourish as a gardener, because you can take what you are getting recommended and then you can amend it to your own experience. And that's a really powerful thing, because, you know, it's like I've said on YouTube before, there is nobody that can tell you exactly when to plant your garden. You are the only, you can get guidelines, but you cannot get, you know, I cannot look at you and say, Batavia, on March 21st, you need to put this in the ground. That's just not how that works. You will learn that over time. You know what I mean?
You know what's the interesting thing? Because we really focused a lot on what would be like that 2-week window. And this is, again, where you begin to learn and know what your space does, right? You know, so I was just looking, because I thought this and I've confirmed it now. In 2019, what's that, 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I planted both collards and cabbage like the third week of June.
That's so late.
Doesn't it feel late? And the reason why I know it, I don't see the, I don't, this may be, I mean, the picture is June 24th. It feels like this is a picture I would take to say, hey, I've planted this bed. But guess what? June 15th, the bed didn't even exist. So I know.
So you know, so know it had to be in that
it's
time
sometime
frame.
Between the 15th and the 24th, right? And I can also remember, this is, that year is when I started, you know, kind of officially garden presence on social media, YouTube and Instagram and all. And I remember harvesting a beautiful head of cabbage that year,
yeah,
from that space. I remember the success of the collards, right? So again, this, I'm sure the Farmer's Almanac is presented what's recommended.
Right.
Right. But we know we're in Chicago in this unique space. Now, I would look back. I mean, I wouldn't come out of the gate and say that's what I'm going to do. I wouldn't make June cabbage and collards the rule, you know, but I look back, if I found myself in a position where, you know, maybe that is what I want to do this year. What was that weather in June, May and June and July, right? And then looking at where we are now, because you and I both know June 2019 could be very different than June, you know, 2024. I remember that spring being super wet, super cool.
Well, I think too, one thing to remember, and this really... You know, we've said this, we've talked about this before on multiple platforms, and it's just something people, for some reason, don't really want to hear. But when it comes down to it, it's the weather that drives it for your area, the climate. Mm-hmm. And the climate, and just so you guys know, is the climate is the overall averages of your entire area. The weather is what's happening right now. And so as your climate, if you look at your climate, like, yeah, you get hot summers, but you get that nice, cool fall. You know, we'll get 90 degree falls here. So it's really like, if I planted a cabbage in June, it would be an uphill battle to keep it going. You know, so I've got to plant it later. But that being said, I can plant my cabbage in August, late August, and continue to grow it all the way up until now. It's like, you know, especially like this year, I covered it one time when it was 16 degrees just to be safe, and I didn't even need to cover it. But that's the way my climate is for that. So you can see how all of this is so almost subjective, I feel like is the correct word. I feel like this is about to get philosophical, and it's making me very uncomfortable, just so you know.
All right, let me transition to, that's not what we do here. You know, I am a stickler for these kind of things.
Yeah.
If I throw out, you know, I planted a cabbage transplant on June the 24th, I'm looking back, and this is what, I mean, we're going to preach to the choir a little bit. I can't recommend pictures. I'm terrible about like actual written documentation, but if that's a thing you do, absolutely do it. Videos. I can go back and see now that I harvested that first head of cabbage September the 9th, it looks like. September the 11th. That's almost 3 full months from the point of transplanting it.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty good to me. I remember doing a whole video of, you know, check this out. So 3 months of growing and the height of summer.
Yeah.
Right? In my area.
And that's like you, I mean, look at Florida, Texas, Alabama, like those, that's not even an option, you know. And your first frost is October, right?
Yeah, it's well, back then it would have been like the 28th, 29th. Now it's November 1st. So all in the same, you know,
so
family.
If you're planting your cabbage on the 3rd of April, you should be harvesting it on around July 4th. And then you plant it again. You could turn around and replant it and mm-hmm. grow it and then harvest it at the quote unquote appropriate time after it gets quote unquote sweet because it got a little frost. So if you think about it, like that's how your garden can grow.
So, yeah, I think yeah. here the recommendation is your spring crop is April the 3rd through the 17th. So tight window, recommend it. And then the last date to plant they're recommending is 7/19, which is what you've just described. If I plant it in mid-July, that's going to be my fall harvest.
I would plant.
I've not done that latter part.
If I were you in your area, I would plant my cabbage on the 20th of March. That's what I would do. I bet you could do it. You should try it. I bet you would be surprised.
If this is the year I'm successful with getting these crops out of the grow room, then I got plenty of cabbage to test that thing out.
Yeah, I think you should. I would try that for sure. I think you would be just, I mean, you're talking such a tight window, you know?
So now, a tight window, but also just one other note. Think about if I need to get, let's pretend this is more rigid than what it really is. If I need to get all of my cabbage planted April the 3rd through 17th for that first set of harvest, I'm going to get a lot of cabbage at the same time. Versus, yeah. let's say that if I start March 20th and I'm successful. Now, again, I don't know for 100% certainty if one's going to catch up with the other, but it would be ideal if I had a more staggered harvest, you know, of something like cabbage.
Right. So you got something like I did where I planted my fall cabbage. And I'm harvesting it as we speak. I'm getting one cabbage a week was my goal. And then I came back in January, planted another row in my greenhouse. And then I came back in February and planted another row in my garden. So in theory, I should get my cabbages now. And then my greenhouse will be ready first. And then my outside will be ready first. And I'll be able to space them all out. In theory. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference between you and I is it's going to get to a point where I'm going to have to pull all those cabbages out. You're going to get to a point where you can do like I am now, where I'm just letting them grow and kind of storing them in the garden.
So you know? Here's the test, the challenge that I'm going to give to myself. And the big if is if I can get these seedlings out, right? Because we know I've struggled with specifically this type of crop. Based on what I've done, what I'm seeing, one could argue I could plant cabbage every month starting, you know, what you're saying in March, but definitely in April. You know, I've had success planting them in April. I've had success planting them in June. We see the recommendation of planting them in July. You know, again, if the weather holds as it has done in the past in Chicago, one could argue it'd be interesting to see what that production looks like. Smaller heads, you know, looser heads, maybe. Not sure.
You know what I just thought of? Titling this episode is going to be a real pain in the ass. Because we're just like all over the place. But I think it's a really good conversation because, you know, you go through and with two people in two different areas, it's really important. I think it was work. You know, this is one of those moments where I think it really works out because people can get an idea of how different it is and kind of pick and choose where they fall. So, you know, because once I get my broccoli in the ground, it becomes it's really fast, you know. And I mean, I'm looking at your list. It's the same thing. You know, you get your broccoli in the ground and then you start putting in kales and collards and mustards all within rapid succession. So all of those that we've mentioned as far as peas, onions, cabbage, broccoli, they all kind of fall in order from coldest to warmest. And then you've got your collards, mustards, I'll throw spinach in there, and kale. Those are your next level, right? Mm-hmm. So at what do you think the least cold hardy crop is for spring that you put in, like some of the last ones that you're going to put in.
What was your, where is, what did spinach fall into that real quick?
It's like the next tier up.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. As far as, now hold on, let me phrase this. As far as getting it going, not it surviving mm-hmm. once it's grown. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. we're talking, you know, this is two different things here.
Yeah. I mean, I think that my next set of crops, and again, covering, we've already covered those cold crops. I think that I'm dealing, like, quite frankly, with your chards and your lettuce. Yeah. Although there's a general recommendation of the lettuce could go in earlier. You know, I think that that's where I'm at with those crops. And boy, have I been waiting, because this shoebox lettuce is killing me.
Yeah, I'm with you on the lettuce. And I think really all of those, like, let's call them salad greens. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, all those.
I like to call them leafy greens. Yeah.
Yeah, but we have kales and everything else that are leaves and stuff, but whatever. You know what we're talking about, okay. People. The lighter, waterier ones. How's that? Because that's what they are. They have more water in them, so they get...
No, salad greens are way sexier than lighter, waterier ones.
There's another episode. Let's come up with sexy names for groups of plants. But no, those, you know, they have to be a little bit warmer. They can take a cold, but... You don't really want to get them too cold, but I treat lettuce over the fall like you kind of do. I was like, whatever. When it dies, it dies. I'm just going to harvest mm-hmm. it until... And I was surprised, man. It got pretty cold. I mean, I had lettuce that was fully mature bounce back from like 26, 24 degrees. 24 was when I really started to get some good damage, though. But I was still able to preserve the middle of the head of lettuce and keep growing it. So that kind of worked out. And for me, see... Potatoes would be one of my last ones to put in. They're one of my last spring crops.
Why?
I don't know. I've always been told Valentine's Day. Between Valentine's Day and March is when you put them in. And I guess it's just because they can be sensitive. But you got to think the difference in our weather is we can be warm now. And what's that going to do? It's going to push that growth. And then when we get cold, all that fresh growth could die back. And that's and we want to eliminate that, right? Because we want to get the greens growing, but then we want them to form the roots because that's what we eat. So I'm imagining that's where that comes from. And it makes sense when you look at where I'm sitting right now. In it's February 27th and it's 74 degrees outside. But we still have another month of potential, you know, frosts. So... You get this time period, things will rapidly grow. And this is why I call it the heartbreak zone, because it grows and then boom, it's gone. And I've had that happen so many times. So I think it's just like a safety measure, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where we sit with that. I do want to tell you that if you need help planting your garden, the Planter app is the way to go. It's available on apps, so you can use it on your phone, your computer, your laptop, your tablet, whatever, and plan your garden out. They just introduced the seed box portion to it, so it'll keep a record of all your seeds that you have. It's a drag and drop interface, square foot gardening, shows you your combative and companion plantings, which I'm telling you, if you've ever tried companion planting and it stresses you out, this will make it so much easier to get going. So you definitely want to check that out. If you use the link below, you get a discount on all of the plans. So the lifetime membership has got a significant discount to it. Just definitely check that out. It is well worth it. And it's actively being developed. So it's not a dead app. And they didn't just make it and walk away. He's continuously updating the app and making it better and better. And we use it and love it for our gardens. And this is part of the recipe to my personal success in my garden. So definitely check it out.
I was making some tweaks. Shout out to last week's episode with one of my goals. I was making some tweaks to my garden plan, still. Mm-hmm. And I had the flag of plants that, you know, basically were highlighted in red. And when I checked it, the plants weren't in the same garden bed, just the way I laid out my garden plan. The beds are very near each other, you know, and so it looks like they're a part of the same garden space. And when I checked, I think it was, I don't remember what it was. It was some summer plants like cucumbers and peppers or something. And it was super helpful because, you know, it's not just an alarm. I was able to dig a bit deeper within the app to say, oh, this is the reason why it's flagged. And this won't be an issue based on where what I know these things are going to be planted at. So it made me feel like, okay, that's, you could go through that red light. It's all good. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, think about needing to come out of the app and search somewhere else and remember that information. Because remember, it's still there when I come back to it if I forget to. So that's just, you know, kind of this week's thankfulness around that app.
Yeah, it definitely saves your butt a few times. But we have a Spotify listener question of the day. It's on. It's from Low Coolant. So hopefully they're not too warm. It says, is it our responsibility to save enough seeds capable of feeding us in the event that something goes wrong with our society? This is an entire episode that Batavia and I would love to talk about, but I think we're secretly scared to make episode about it. So this is breaking the ice.
Yeah, we get mixed feedback or results, or I should say
mixed signals.
Mixed signals, just even from like the numbers. Yeah. You know, it seems that people listen to this type of episode that this question is tied to far less often than some of the other episodes. So, you know. Yeah.
If you want to hear stuff about that, let us know. But what do you think? In a nutshell, do you think it's our responsibility? First of all, yes or no?
I don't know. Like, I want to say no, but I feel immediately irresponsible if I say that. If I say yes, I feel like, you know, there's a little bit of this just kind of like, am I really going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, like it sounds good to say yes, but am I really doing it?
My opinion is it your responsibility to society? No, I don't believe so. Is it your personal responsibility? If you want it to be, you know what I mean? I think it's, it's whenever I hear people talk about this stuff and they're just like, it's our responsibility to save the world. No, it's not. If you don't take the time to figure stuff out on your own, like, I'm sorry. I just, you know, when it's here, it's too late. You know what I mean? We picked up a lot of gardeners in the community based on the pandemic. So, you know, what's the next thing that's going to happen that's going to bring the gardeners in? And is it going to be a possibility for them to come in, you know? Because you can't just save, like, saving seeds is not just something you just randomly do.
I mean, there's a whole system associated with that, yeah. Right? You know, you start to think, remember when I first really jumped into like growing quite a bit more from seed, because, you know, I'm a long standing, like my garden at a whole different size, smaller size, was full of transplants, like hard stop. So I transitioned, like I know a lot of people start off with seeds and they actually were just smarter than me. I'm just going to be blatantly, but, and so as I kind of transitioned into, you know, a lot more seed growth, I didn't immediately think about like the lifespan of the seed, like the viability of seeds.
Yeah.
Right. You know? And so when you now fast forward to this question around, you know, I mean, you can save those seeds, but are you continuing to track and test, you know, how viable they are? Are you doing things where it sounds simple enough, like, are you dating these? You know, it all hits the fan and now you got some 20-year-old seeds, you know, and or 10-year-old seeds. And how many of those are really going to feed you? You know?
Well, I mean, it's like having a dull
knife.
That's
not to deter people. I want to be clear in that.
No, but I mean, I think there's a way to start. And, you know, it's just like we've said in other episodes before, it's like, save some green bean seeds if you like them, then grow them the next year and just start, you know, it's like having an unsharpened knife. Like, you got to keep that tool sharp, and you are the tool, your brain is the tool. And I don't think in this space it's our responsibility, like it's our right to, or our job to tell anybody what they're responsible to do for their gardens. You know, I think it's a very personal choice, and I hesitate to encourage people to do something like that because it could add a level of complexity that would encourage them not to grow food, when I personally feel that saving seeds at some point is a natural progression of gardening. Mm. And if you can grow a garden, you can end up saving a seed at some point in the future. And if you already have a garden and they're like, yeah, there's no more food, everybody's done, you'd be like, hold my beer. Mm-hmm. I know that this is an overripe tomato. I'm going to just dry the seeds out and save them. You know, I know, mm-hmm. you know, it's a natural progression.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, one plant will produce more seeds than you will ever need, you know?
I just had a short video run on Russian kale. And this is not unique to Russian kale. This is actually a few years ago. I planted Russian kale. I think I direct sowed it in the fall. Timing was all wrong. Itty bitty plant produced. Winter came and I forgot all about it. Fast forward to spring and guess what pops up? You know, that Russian kale plant. Yeah. Now it went to seed pretty quickly. You know, but the leaves are still edible, still tasty. And that plant probably grew about 3 feet tall when it bolted. Flowers everywhere, which, you know, again, early spring, pollinators love that. And then fast forward to, I wanted to save the seeds from it. I wanted to see the process of saving seeds from a plant like that. I actually ended up digging it up, putting it into a bucket while the plant was still alive, letting it finish its life cycle. Now, the quiet part out loud that I didn't say in the video is that plant's been in my basement for like 2 years because there's so many freaking seeds, right? I mean, literally thousands of seeds, you know, from that plant. So you look at something like that. Well, absolutely, you know, and I do feel some responsibility for like just not tossing that. Right. Think about how much that could do. But now think about that across various vegetables, you know. And so what I'd say is, sometimes we're very big, and I'm not suggesting that this listener is saying this or living this way, but sometimes we're very big on, okay, you know, when it all goes to you know where, I said when, you know, what are you going to do? How are you prepared? And like, it's, you have to be really intentional about it. Yeah. Let me just say that. And so I do believe if you feel like that could happen in your lifetime, you should be taking measures to ensure for you and yours that you're able to take care of things. And based on what we're talking about, it could be other families you're able to help as well. But again, you got to be intentional about that.
Yeah, you do. And you have to practice it and start small, work up to it. But is it, I mean, you know, you could go two ways. Is it your responsibility to save seed or is it your responsibility to stockpile seed? You know, mm-hmm. either way, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, you buy a pack of seeds, you know what your family is going to eat, this, that, and the other. You know, it's a really hard question, but it's a very interesting one. I just stand firm on, like, I don't think it's your responsibility to do anything. It's your, you know, it's your responsibility to run your garden and the way you prepare for certain things your way. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, I just really stand firm in that thought. But it's definitely a good question. So I appreciate
another look at that is a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think you and your beliefs, to be quite frank, dictate whether you can say yes, it's a smart thing or no, it isn't.
Right.
You know.
Right. I would much rather know how to grow, harvest, and preserve food than save seed. Because the seed saving will come. But everything mm-hmm. else, it's more important for me to have my tomato crop grow and then eat it throughout the winter, then starve throughout the winter, but be like, at least I got a bag of seeds. That's my personal opinion. So
You don't have to choose, though.
No. And we do appreciate your questions, all questions. And if you'd like to be like Low Coolant and leave us a question, you can do so on Spotify. And I've been toying around with the idea of making an email address specifically for this to just bypass all that. So I may be doing that soon. But the Spotify thing's just ridiculous. But if you wanted to leave a question anywhere on any of our platforms like Backyard Gardens Community Garden on Facebook or any social media, just put Spotify question or listener question of the day in so we can tag it and mark it to discuss it. Don't forget to check out our new seeds, because if you're worried about the end of the world, they're direct sowable. You can plant them now and grow them. Hashtag just saying, baby. We love you guys. Spring is almost here, so stay strong. And remember one thing, we're going to continue to learn to grow and grow for change.
See ya.
Now you know why people feel like celebrating at harvest time.
All over the world, people have feasting and good times when the crops have been gathered in.
Thanks for checking out the show. If you like what we're doing and you'd like to support us, you can become a patron at patreon.com/backyardgardens, or you can be an Apple subscriber, and in both of those, you'll get an extra episode every month. You can also make a one-time PayPal donation with the link below, and you can get all kinds of gardening gear like t-shirts and mugs and cups from the link below at Teespring, and we have an Amazon store which has all the products that we use and recommend in our gardens, and it helps support our show. And we also add to this list periodically, so be sure to check it out periodically to see if there's anything that you need for your garden. Everything that you do, including a like and a subscribe and even a review, will help us learn to grow and grow for change.
See ya.